This morning, the lesson's titled Walking on Water. And so we all know what this is referring to. This is going to refer to Matthew chapter 14. My left-hand corner, you can see a few verses. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 34. You're welcome to go and meet me there in those verses. It won't look quite the same in your Bible as I have it here on the board. And it's because I've done this thing that I often like to do whenever I'm looking at the Gospels. I like to tie them all together into one cohesive story so that it's easier to follow without having to jump around to all the different parts of it. So we're Matthew 14, Mark 6, John 6 will be where the story takes place in all three passages. It's been color-coded so that you can see where they are combined to make the story flow and see the whole thing cohesively. But Jesus walking on the water is preceded by Jesus feeding the 5,000. And so I want you to imagine this. We talked about this a few months ago, the feeding of the 5,000. We have 5 loaves and we have 2 fish, and 5 plus 7 equals 5,000, right? And then if you remember, it says that 5,000 men were fed. So that actually means that with the women and the children, about 15,000 people were fed. And so we talked about the immensity of this miracle. All the things that they would have seen. And it says that at the end of it, those 5,000 that were fed, they knew who Jesus was after that, didn't they? It says they knew who he was. They said, surely this is a prophet sent to us by God. They knew who Jesus was. One of the questions I have for you this morning, though, is did the apostles know? Surely. They were the ones carrying baskets all day. But did the apostles know? And I think that we're going to get to that question here in a few moments. But we need to read the first part of it to get to that. So we're going to start following the feeding of the 5,000. Starting in verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when the evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Okay, so Jesus performs this miracle. He feeds the 5,000, and he says to the apostles, I want you guys to go over there. Get in your boats, and I want you to get to rowing. I'm going to stay behind. And did he tell them what he's going to do? I don't know. But what he did go and do is he went up to the mountain to pray. He went up to a high place because it says later on that he's going to look down and see them rowing. So he goes up to a different place to pray. And we're going to find out later that he was praying for quite a while. And we're going to find out a little bit later that the apostles were rowing for quite a while. And as he's praying, and I think after he finishes and he looks out over the sea, it's nighttime, remember, because they set out at nighttime. He sees them off in the distance. And what does he see? They're struggling, right? It says, when he saw them, they were rowing. They were straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Think of this from the apostles' perspective for a moment. They fed 15,000 people that day. They fed 15,000 people. Whenever I used to work at Ozark Raceway Park, I worked at the concession stands. I was mostly an announcer. But there were a few times whenever I'd work the concession stands, and I remember there being hundreds of people that would be in the concession stand line. And we would be working furiously for hours to try to get all these people fed, and it never ended. They just kept coming. Hamburger, hot dog, nachos. And it just never ended. Went on for hours. They just kept coming. And I was just working in a booth, right? They, the apostles, fed 15,000 people. They fed a whole small city in one day, just between the 12 of them. Pretty small crew to feed 15,000, don't you think? And they didn't even, and it's not like the people came to them. Like, they didn't do it like a la carte style or buffet style where they came and picked up the fish and the bread and went on their way. It didn't happen that way. It says that they went to all the people, grouped them up, and then they took it to them. My point is the apostles spent all day laboring, working really hard. Working really, really hard. Five loaves and two fish weighed a lot by the end of the day. Okay. So Jesus goes up to the mountain to pray. The apostles get sent along their way to go row. Go over here. Now, how depressing would it be to work all day feeding people, to get in a boat, to row against the wind? Now, in the fourth watch of the night, when they had rowed about 25 or 30 stadia, we'll stop there. Okay, 25 or 30 stadia is 3 or 4 miles. Okay? It's the fourth watch of the night. So let's do some math here. Fourth watch of the night during Roman times is going to be between 3 and 6 a.m. They left at evening, at the beginning of evening. So they left around 9 p.m., we'll say. It may have, like right now it gets dark earlier than 9 p.m., but we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. We'll say it was 9 p.m. In the summer. Sun's high goes down later. That means that they have been rowing at least 6 hours, right? We don't know exactly what part of the fourth watch Jesus came out. Maybe he came out at 3, maybe he came out at 4, maybe it was 5. But what I do know is that from 9 to 3, that's 6 hours. So they rowed, they've been in this boat for 6 hours and have only gone 3 or 4 miles. Whew. Talk about hard work. Talk about depressing work. Trying to get from point A to point B and just not getting anywhere. You guys ever went to Stockton Lake before? You ever been on that lake? There was a few years ago, whenever a buddy of mine decided that we were going to go fishing. Me and Brian were going to go fishing. And we got on the lake, and we were both in our little kayaks. And we were going to go across the lake and get a great place. And one thing that Stockton is known for is it's known for being a really windy lake, right? Really windy lake. And so we get out on our kayaks, and we're just really excited. The waves are up to here. And they're like, man, this is going to be, once we get there, boy, it's going to be totally worth it. Well, it wasn't worth it, let me just tell you. It wasn't worth it. I mean, it was like 4 to 5 foot waves in these kayaks. Probably not that high. But let's just be honest here. Okay, that's exaggeration. Pretty high waves in these kayaks. And guess what happened? We capsized in the lake with all our fishing stuff on a really windy day, and it was awful. We hated it. And we rowed for like an hour just to capsize. So these guys, going back to them, they've been rowing for a really long time, 6 hours. The Sea of Galilee, actually, whenever the east wind comes down over the mountains, has really strong winds, gets really high waves. Okay, so we got to get into our mind. I'm just wanting to paint you a picture of what it's like for them right now. They're having a pretty rough time. They're tired. They're wet. They're beaten down. Having a hard time. And Jesus, from the mountain, probably sees a light in the distance. They probably have a light in their boat. Probably sees a light in the distance and sees them struggling. Sees them straining against this wind. So Jesus, he doesn't just sit in the mountain and watch. He goes down. And let's see what happens. It says, Jesus came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. Okay, I want you guys to just, okay, I want you to imagine this from their point of view. Have they ever seen Jesus walk on water? Have you ever seen anybody walk on water? In the middle of a lake, with waves up to here, Have you ever seen that? Had they ever seen that? The answer is no. Yes, they just saw Jesus do a miracle, but they hadn't seen that. They weren't expecting that. Now, what I find interesting is in Matthew, we don't actually get the account where it says, and Jesus would have passed them by. But isn't it interesting? The other verse, in Mark chapter 6, says that he was just walking on the water and would have passed them by. He was just going from point A to point B, walking on the water casually. These guys have been straining and struggling all night long to get from point A to point B, and he's just walking. Walking on the water. Notice that he didn't actually go to the boat. It says that he would have passed them by. He would have kept going, but they were paying attention, weren't they? And because they, well, I mean, who wouldn't be paying attention? There's a guy walking on the water. But they were paying attention, and they saw it. They cried out in fear. They thought it was a ghost. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Peter is bold all the time. I love that about Peter. Bold all the time. Most points that we see him in the Bible, he's fearless. Most points. And I absolutely love how he's the one that says, "Jesus, I want to do what you're doing. Take me where you are right now, Lord." Imagine that. Imagine that he wanted to brave those waters to go to Jesus and walk on the water, to do something that he's never done before, do something he's never seen done before. He goes, "I want to do that. I want to go to you, Jesus." That's encouraging. That's encouraging. Be bold like Peter. Notice that the other apostles didn't ask for that. Peter did. Be like Peter in this. And so he said, "Come." When Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." All right. Had the wind changed between the time he said, "Lord, command me to come to you," and the moment that he realized what was going on around him, had anything changed? Had the wind changed? Had the storm changed? Had the waves changed? Nothing changed. What changed? What changed? Because whenever he was in the boat, he had a lot of courage. When he's in the boat, he knew and he felt like he could do it. But somewhere between the boat and Jesus, he started to notice what was going on around him. What changed? His distance from safety changed. He started to get to a point where the boat is too far away to grab onto. And Jesus is still over there. And there's this space called no man's land where I feel like I am. You ever felt that way? Ever felt that way? Ever been in a place where you're far from the safety over here and trying to get over here, but you just feel like really there's no saving you from the other side of it? That's the way Peter felt. And so all of a sudden, he started to become aware of everything going on around him. His faith lost focus in that moment. It's the same thing for us. When we have our highs and our lows, When we leave this place and we feel encouraged and we feel strong and we feel like we can do anything on Sunday, recognize that the winds have not changed. Recognize that everything going on out there has not changed. The waves are still high. The wind's still blowing. Things are still rough. But your attitude is different. But then somewhere around Tuesday comes along where something causes you to lose focus. Your distance from church increases. Your distance from your brethren increases because you're not seeing them regularly. And you start to lose focus. And you start to lose faith. Because you start to pay attention to the winds outside. You start to pay attention to the height of the waves outside. And so that's a problem that he's having. That's a problem that we're having. That's a problem we're having all the time. That's a problem that new Christians face too. Because new Christians, when they're in the boat, and they look and see Jesus walking on the water, and they say, I want to go to him. I'm going to go to him. I'm going to walk. I'm going to follow him. And they have all this. They have all the spark. They have all the zeal. They have all this courage. And then they start to get to walking. And they start to notice all the winds around them. That's what happens to them too. We've got to recognize the walk that occurs between the boat and Jesus. We've got to recognize how important that walk is to stay focused on Jesus. To stay focused on the faith. But you know what? He does the right thing. He does the right thing. Rather than falling backward from where he came, where does he go? He falls forward, Lord, save me. At least he did that right, didn't he? He knew where to go for salvation. He knew where to go for safety. It wasn't backward. That's too far back. I'm going to Jesus. I'm still doing this. Jesus, save me. I'm falling forward. If I'm going to fall, I'm falling forward. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Okay. So Jesus diagnoses the problem right then and there. Jesus diagnoses the problem. Did Peter's ability to walk on water change because of Jesus? Did Jesus take away any of Peter's ability to walk on water in that moment? No. Not Jesus. Peter took away his own ability to walk on the water. Jesus gave him the power. Jesus lent him the power. The only person that took it away from him was himself. He says, why did you doubt? I didn't take it away from you. You took it away from yourself. We have to make sure that we hold ourselves accountable when we walk. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Well, there's a lot there. Let's unpack some of that. First things first, I want you to note something, and this is actually, I think, the conversation that Faraji and I had. Do you notice that Peter's back in the boat? Did you guys notice that? How did he get back there? How did Peter get back to the boat? I don't really know. Was he drugged through the water? Was he carried? Did he walk on the water with Jesus going back? I don't know. But what I know is Jesus took him back to safety. Whether he was drugged, whether he walked, whether he was carried, Jesus got him back to safety where he needed to be. Folks, when you're falling, fall forward. Fall forward with your hand out so that Jesus can get you back to safety. Walk to him bravely, but when you fall, and you will. Sorry, you will. Walk to him bravely, and when you fall, fall forward with your hand out, Lord, save me. Because he will pick you up, drag you, carry you, I don't know, but back to the boat is where you'll go. He'll help you get there. He'll help you get back to safety, wherever you're at in life. And notice that whenever they get back there, it says that when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Okay. Whoa. So it's been storming relentlessly all night long, at least 6 hours. Peter gets back into the boat. Gone. It is as still as they come. And oh, by the way, we're there. I love whenever I'm on a road trip and Delaney's driving. I go to sleep. I wake up. We're like 400 miles down the road, called magic travel. That's what we call it. Love that. Love that. It's the best. You know, the apostles must have been, oh, we're here. Okay. How'd that happen? The apostles witnessed a lot of miracles on that boat, folks. They witnessed a lot of miracles on that boat. They saw Jesus calm a storm. They saw Jesus walk on water. They watched Peter walk on water. They watched themselves go from point A to point B in an instant. They witnessed a lot of miracles there. And I actually think there's a reason. I think in verse 33 and on, combined with some from Mark, we might see it. Then those who were in the boat were greatly amazed themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. And they came and worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Notice that, guys. This is such a critical part of the story that we just kind of skip over, I think. Because it was the people that were fed that said, you are truly a prophet sent from God at the end of it. I didn't hear the apostles say that. I didn't see the apostles say that. It isn't until this point that they say that. And it says that their heart was hardened, so they didn't understand the loaves. So somewhere in the process of them doing all that serving all day, they'd never got it. Wouldn't you think if you were the one that administered 5 loaves and 2 fish to 15,000 people, wouldn't you think you would be the one to get it? They didn't. They didn't get it. And I almost wonder, and this is my own speculation, so note that. I wonder if Jesus sent a really strong storm and Jesus had them row for 6 hours against the wind so that they could learn this. So that they could see this. So they could see this power and be on the receiving end of this power. Because they didn't get it when they were feeding the 5,000. They had to work for it. It's an amazing thing that Jesus did. And it's for us to see today. If you didn't get it when we watched the 5,000, you get it now. Jesus performed over and over and over again so that they would get it. And he performs over and over and over again in your lives. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? The apostles were the ones divvying out and serving his miracle. It was Jesus' miracle, but the apostles were the ones that were helping to carry it out. They still weren't getting it. You can be here this morning, and you can be out there preaching the gospel and not getting it. The apostles didn't get it in that moment. So Jesus put them through a lot so that they would get it. This morning, I want to make sure that you are understanding and recognizing all the ways Jesus is working in your life, and all the ways Jesus is blessing us, and all the ways that he'll continue to work in our lives. And if you're going through something hard, maybe it's because Jesus is trying to help you understand. If you feel like you're rowing against the current, maybe it's because Jesus is trying to get you to understand the way that he's working in your life. There's a lot of lessons that we can take from this. I don't care which one you take this morning. Pick one. Pick two. Pick five. But I need you to focus on one at least. Because from start to finish, there's a lot to take from Matthew chapter 14. So this morning, if there's anything that we can do for you as a congregation, let us help you. If you're in no man's land, think of us as your... If you're in no man's land and you're kind of away too far from the boat, put out your hand and let us help you. We would love to talk to you. We would love to help you get through whatever you're getting through with whatever your need is. Our needs look different, right? Our needs look different. They don't always have to be pray for me. They can be other things. If there's anybody here that hasn't obeyed the gospel, if you want to follow Jesus, but you haven't been baptized into him, that's something that you need to do. You need to be baptized to become a follower of Christ, a saved follower of Christ. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, please stand while we sing the selected song.